To walk between the veils is a rite of passage, crossing the meridians of what is perceived as external validation and what is known as personal wisdom. To walk between the veils devours and consumes, stretches and constricts, and continually tests the guardrails of self-imposed limitations. To walk between the veils is to traverse the middle line between factual physicality and structured thought forms, while deep-seated visions of inward consciousness spill forward in a ramble and gamble of shooting stars and perfected alignments. To walk between the veils is to teeter on the tightrope of infinite heights, invoking the call of the ancients as you dance to the orchestrated melody of the cosmos. To walk between the veils is the path of purpose, passion, and possibility, of union, of logic and magic, the alchemical marriage of everything and no thing. Let us walk between the veils together as one collective of sacred and sovereign revolutionaries dripping in the essence of our God selves.
Welcome to the Raw and Wild Hearts, a place where the raw, the unfiltered, the wild hearts gather to celebrate triumphs and hardships, learn from each other, grow together, and break down a culture rooted in fear. We will talk, we will laugh, and we will lean on each other about everyday life experiences that we could all use a little support through, and then we'll bask in the wild, magical beings that we are. My philosophy is that by embracing the dark, we may just let in the light. I am your host, Lori Rising, healer, educator, writer, adventurer, retreat leader, birth defender, and animal enthusiast and activist, along with my wild heart sidekick kitty, Jesus the Brave. We'd like to invite you to get excited about the Wild Heart Revolution. Hello, everyone. Welcome to today's episode. It's called Walking This Earth as an Agent of Change with Jetem Shari. It's a super powerful episode filled with so much magic. I will tell you that I was so blessed to have this exchange with a full embodied goddess walking here among us. Her vibration and frequency is at such a level of intensity, passion, and clarity. I had goosebumps for what's possible in this new earth awakening. We talk about activating the full potential of our DNA in ancient knowledge and wisdom, being sovereign, infinite, magical humans, turning up our telepathy, the ages of Aries, Pisces, and Aquarius, unlocking our purpose, passion, and path, and really the potential of this magnificent, albeit intense, collective awakening. I knew she was bringing this high frequency dialogue to us, so I prefaced this episode with my last one called What's a Spiritual Awakening and How Do I Get One? For anyone who might be new to these kinds of energy shifts that are coming online in our bodies, our souls, our cells, our DNA, and our worlds. Like I said in that episode, if you're divine curious, or if you're noticing synchronicities and manifestations happening in your life, or if there's something that's urging you to explore new territories in this existence, I'm so happy you're here. And I do truly hope you find some resonance in what's about to go down in this dynamic exchange. Honestly, I'm just going to get right to this. Hold on to your carpets, babes, because we are about to go on a mystical ride of all of our wildest possibilities and abilities. One quick program note, right around mark 33 minutes, 35 seconds, Jetem had said Pisces instead of Aries for the god of war, but was meaning Aries since she talked about Pisces next. We were so engulfed in our 2 hour long conversation that honestly, we could barely contain ourselves and our words. So I just wanted to mark that clarification. And also just thank you for opening your minds and hearts to hear new thoughts, ideas, realities, and possibilities. Even if one thing resonates, I'm so grateful. If it's everything, I'm grateful. Thank you for being curious. Thank you for being here. As always, I love your star ratings, reviews, and subscribes. Taking the time to like, comment, and share this episode or the show means so much to my mission. And if you'd like to join the Wild Heart Revolution to support my mission and receive exclusive benefits like bonus audio from this episode and every other episode, come on over to my Patreon page. Tiers start as low as $3 per month, and every dollar is such a huge support to this movement and what I can create and share with y'all. And let's just chat about today's sponsor quick. You've heard me talk about them. You know I love them. BetterHelp. That's better, H-E-L-P. It's a professional counseling network in the comfort of your own home. Y'all know I'm a huge advocate for mental health support. It can unlock some of the deepest programming that we didn't even know was there. My own mental health sessions have taken me into the most beautiful spaces of my own infinite potential. I'm forever changed by my commitment to showing up every week, even when it's scary or overwhelming. That's why it's so important to find the therapist who is a match to your frequency. When you feel trust, you let your beautiful vulnerability light shine, babes. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating vibrational matches, so they make it super easy to change therapists at any time. They ask you very specific questions to find those perfect matches so you can get to work digging into your unique code. The telehealth appointments are private and more affordable than traditional counseling, and they do offer financial aid. Now, more than ever, online appointments are the norm, and BetterHelp is perfect to access more diversity in therapists and accessibility in general. They truly want you to have an easy and supportive experience. Join millions of peeps making their mental health a priority and a normalized part of this human experience. As a Wild Heart Warrior, you can get 10% off your first month when you go to www.betterhelp.com/raw and wild hearts. The link is also below in the show notes and will always be there. Okay, on to the magic. Je t'aime, chérie Serge is a healer, facilitator, green witch, spiritual entrepreneur, and Akashic ambassador on the priestess path of remembering and reclaiming the sacred voice of the goddess within. Je t'aime owns Sage Sanctuary, metaphysical musings for the modern mystic, an herbal apothecary, crystal shop, and studio offering tarot, Akashic record, past life and astrology readings, breathwork, yoga, aura photography, sound baths, and more. Her journey of reclaiming her soul gifts has included traveling all over the world to Thailand, Scotland, Egypt, Ireland, Hawaii, Sedona, Guatemala, and other mystical locations, learning from indigenous and expat mentors and elders in all realms of ancient practices, unveiling the many mysteries that we have been making our way back to for lifetimes. Je t'aime has declared her mission to be one of empowerment and remembrance of our royal and ancient origins, linking us with the eternal and sovereign God or goddess within. Je t'aime offers divine dialogue in the belief that revealing our true, authentic selves in community containers is the path to reclaiming our magic and power, and ultimately that we are the source of our own sorcery. Please welcome Je t'aime, Cherie. Hello, Je t'aime. Thank you so much for joining the Wild Heart Revolution.
Well, thank you, Laura, so much for having me. I am so excited to be here today in divine dialogue with you, and just what a pleasure and a blessing.
I am in total gratitude that you felt called to answer my ask. So as people know, I like to start with a toast or a prayer to the Wild Heart Warriors in our light, especially our dark, and in all of our magic and glory. May we continue to elevate consciousness through honesty, humor, humility, gentle care, soul-wrenching growth, and ownership. And to us, and to the reactivation in our cells, our DNA, and our divine truth.
Mm. Oh, oh, when, and so it is.
Mm. Yes, Je t'aime. I am just so giddy. I'm like energy giddy about this conversation. I found you randomly through the podcast Rising Women Leaders. We were just chatting before the show. I saw the title to your episode and it had Ascension in it and Akashic Records, I think, and maybe truth.
Ascension guide and Akashic wisdom.
Yeah. And so I was like, I've got to listen to that. And I listened to it and I felt like we were extended star family. Like everything that you were sharing, I was resonating with so hardcore. And so I was just like, oh, I've got to talk to her. I just know that this exchange is going to elevate the planet if we can do it. And you said yes. So here we are. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Galactic Cousins.
Yeah, right?
That's how you we connected and that you resonated with that. And it's so true that it the connections that will come through the universe right when we need them. And I'm just so grateful and blessed that you picked up on that frequency and that here we are now. So
yeah, doesn't that feel like the theme, especially with all of the awakening? That's like, ooh, it's so juicy. It's just coming up in the stars and in the planet and in the universe. And I feel like that, like everything is an opportunity is my theme. So, you know, really taking the lessons from every single experience in life.
Mm-hmm. Possibilities are power. And I just feel like that delving into the possibility of every moment, that literally one word that someone could say to you in a random conversation can lead you down a rabbit hole that literally leads you on a destined path. And so in every moment, here we are taking in these keys and codes and vibrations and frequencies from all of those that are around us, and whichever one resonates, you know, with us the most is the timeline that we can literally ride. And I feel like that's exactly what's happening right now. We're on this highest timeline and we're just on it for a ride until we hop to the next timeline, which is our next destined route to get to where we're going that's fated.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And what I think is really special is if we miss it the first time, the universe, if it's meant to be, the universe will bring it back around.
Absolutely. And even when we miss it, you know, we always think, oh, this lesson keeps coming back around, or this situation or this moment or this emotion or this person keeps coming back around. And it's literally just a reminder to dive deep into what the origination point is of that coming back around. And what is it that we're learning here? What's the message that's coming through? What's the guidance? What is the takeaway that we're not exactly taking away? You know, and what is it that we can pack up and say, okay, I've got it this time, so that we can move on to the next.
Yeah. I want to bring in what you called your mission here right now is for the collective being an agent of change.
Yes, absolutely. An agent of change. And what that really means for me is that we each embody these specific keys and codes that are absolutely necessary. Sorry, my kitty's wanting to.
I hear her. Hello, baby.
And these specific keys and codes that.
Wait a second. I'm sorry. I see her tail and it is so cute. It's adorable. Hi, baby. Yes, we've got to say hello to the animal energy for sure. All right. I'm sorry. Go on.
No worries. These keys and codes that are so integral to the whole puzzle piece. And for me, as an agent of change, I feel that I am connecting with really everybody that I meet, but I do feel like there are definitely specific frequencies of connections with people where I'm planting a seed. And that seed is either literally just being dormant underneath the soil for a while until it's time for them to water, or it's sprouting immediately, or it's taking its time to really come to the surface. But either which way, as an agent of change, I am bringing an empowerment and reawakening an empowerment and a God sense in everyone that I meet, because this is constantly my mantra, is that we are not just divine sparks, but literally the spark just hasn't been kindled. We are a raging inferno of God self. We are these emanations of the God and Goddess. And right now, as we are in this collective awakening, the sparks are flaring in everyone, in all of the collective. And so for me, planting this seed is really stoking the fire. It's really raising it up and creating not just an ember lit, but really just this huge inferno of collective awakening so that we can realize our power. And as an agent of change, it's all about us recognizing that we came into this existence for a specific purpose, and that the societal conditioning that we have experienced since birth is not our power. It is really the relinquishing of our power, of our God self, of what we came into existence for. And so it's kind of like activating. And I have a very good friend and she keeps calling it galactivating. I'm loving that term. And so it's like galactivating people to remember their celestial origins, to remember the fact that we are not just here to eat, sleep, work, and die. This is such a huge purpose, especially at this moment in time. The awakening has never been more obvious. And people who don't even really know these terms of ascension and awakening and, you know, even the slight terms of empowerment, they feel something deep inside that's changing, that's evolving, that's transforming, that's transmuting. They may not know what it is, but they feel it, even if it's just in the subtle realms. And so walking this earth as an agent of change, I am helping to tweak people's energy field so that the subtle becomes the prominent field in their energy, and that they are not so much as just looking at it, but questioning, introducing, really getting to know what is this spark that I know is going to be the primordial passionate force in my life, and really getting to know what that is. What is my mission here? What have I come here to give that is so unique that no one else on this planet has to offer? What is my service at this time? And I really truly feel that that is what this collective awakening is about. It's allowing us to remember what it is that we've forgotten, that we've even forgot. And it's awakening the dormant code within us. Junk DNA is not a thing. It is all of the origination keys and codes that we came and brought with us from past lives, linear lives, other dimensions, other realms, other planets, whatever you'd like to call it, whatever verbiage resonates with you. It is the all that we have accumulated since our existence as being part of source. And it is our source knowledge. It's our remembrance of our originations from God, Goddess. And so that's what we're awakening. And I know that's like a really big mission for most people, and sometimes a very hard concept to wrap our heads around, but this is what we're here for. And this is what I truly believe. And I feel that once we can really come into a sacred space and a sacred knowing within ourselves that things are evolving and changing, and that we literally are in a time of such rapid transmutation and evolution, that it all starts to come up. And you said it earlier, I think before we even started recording, that like time really isn't a thing anymore. Like manifestations are just coming in so strongly right now. And that's part of our awakening of our powers, our abilities, our skills, our talents, our past life remembrances, and our recall. And the knowing that we are absolutely magical.
Yeah, I feel like I have been waiting for this my whole life. I'm like, oh, it's happening. It's happening. Like, I came into this body knowing about our divinity. I was just like, I don't get it. How do we not understand how magical we are? Like, why are we not levitating? Why aren't we producing miracles together? Because we're so powerful. So I feel like what we're doing is we're fostering our true divinity instead of repressing it. Mm-hmm. It's like we've been in a culture of practicing the repression of our divinity. It's like we're dehypnotizing ourselves back to our innate truth.
Absolutely. That is mm-hmm. such a beautiful way to look at it, and uncovering the veils of what really has been put over us as this holographic universe. And what we're not even realizing is that every single thing that has come into our field is something that we have created ourselves. And if we don't want it, it's literally just a change in the manifestation and the abilities of what we're creating. And once we can realize that, you will never think another negative thought, because you realize how absolutely strong, powerful, and innate our manifestation and thought abilities are. And it's overwhelmingly powerful, this concept, you know. And I love that you said you came into this existence knowing your divinity. And I think that speaks so much to your mission, because you remembered, you never forgot. And so many of us, and myself included, knew that there was something there. I always had this feeling, and I thought it was such an egoic thought form for me, because I was like, oh, that's sticky, that I knew that I was here for like a major reason. And, you know, when you think about that, you're like, oh, everybody thinks they're here for such a major reason, you know, but it kept coming back to me, and I started having these visions and just these memories surfacing, these dreams that would come up, and I'd be like, I know it, I know it, I know it, I know it. And the more that we can feed this knowing, the more that it comes alive in us. And I tell so many of my clients when they're like, how can I cultivate my intuition more? And I'm like, feed it, literally listen to it, answer it, ask it questions, follow the instructions and the directions and the guidance that it's giving you. When it says bring an umbrella in the morning and you're like, oh, but it's sunshiny all day, bring the damn umbrella, because most likely you're going to need it. Mm-hmm. And it's these little tweaks that we can tune into. And once our intuition realizes that we have just tuned the radio station to her, she will start to speak louder, and she will start to play more and more tunes and frequencies and vibrations that are entrained with where our journey and our path are leading us to.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we had been taught to just be in this linear fear brain, right? And we are so much more than that. That, you know, our prefrontal cortex is just like a very small piece of what we are. And, you know, I had a question on here, like, what's your word for 2020? Someone had put that on Instagram, and I thought, oh, that's interesting. And my word immediately was embodiment.
Oh, yes.
And that's where we start to activate all of these senses, which is where our magic really, truly lies.
Yes, I love that. And embodiment, I feel, is, it's really, it's a stage. You know, I feel like there are certain levels too. And once you have awakened and come into at least a semblance of the realization of what it is that you feel your passion is leading you towards, then embodiment is the next step. And I think my word for my service this year is empowerment. And what the root of that to me really is courage. And it's the courage to step out of the fear paradigm. It's the courage to step out of the conditioned set of ideals that literally have been plated in front of us our entire life. So much so that it's become comfortable, it's become easy, and courage and empowerment is sometimes not comfortable. It's not easy. And once you can get off of the train that is leading you in the opposite direction of where your divinity is placed, then you really can become aware that alignment can be easy, but the transferal of your consciousness from a paradigm that has been set before you versus what it is that you choose can be very uncomfortable. And it can be a moment in life where you're like, I don't know what I'm doing. Some people have termed it the dark night of the soul. It can be a huge loss. Like, that's what I've experienced in my life. That was a really beautiful course correction. And I know that there are so many paths to get there. And the most important thing is to realize that everything is happening for you and not to you, and to not regress, because our natural inclination is to regress to what's easy and comfortable and safe in the eyes and the definition of what we have known to be safe in the past. But what is safest for us is to embody our highest innate worthiness, our highest innate embodiment of our passions, our desires, our wishes, our goals, our dreams, and what really lights us up on the inside. And once we are on that path, we can literally manifest that it be a path of ease and grace and beauty. And sometimes to get to ease and grace and beauty, there's going to be some uncomfortability within that. And that's the journey. And that's also the fun part. If we don't experience that, then we don't know the highest depths of where we can go if we have not traversed the lowest valleys of where the originations of our fears, our wounds, our traumas live. If we don't go there and meet them head on and say, how can I love you back to source? Then how can we really achieve the highest mountains of where we know we are meant to exist? And I think that's kind of where my service lies. It's in maybe not holding hands, but at least showing that that path can be traversed, that path can be journeyed, and that it is really a beautiful embodiment of what we came here to learn.
Yeah. It's so interesting because I was just talking to a friend recently and she was in an uncomfortable, you know, shift in her life and or transformation. And I was like, I want you to go home and write down this mantra. I want you to put it on a post-it. I want you to read it every day. Just read it every day. I had her put down, I choose myself over comfort, because we want to go, like you said, we want to go back to comfort, what we've always known, but that keeps us limited. And, you know, I was also going to say, when we come in knowing our divinity, like, I think that we all come in at different levels in our different lives, right? It's what have we experienced through our lives? What have we worked through and ascended through? In this culture, I did not want to stay. You know, I was very suicidal as a child. I did not want to stay in this human form because I knew what my star form was. Like, I knew what my divinity was, and it didn't make sense in this container of like fear and scarcity and lack, right? And so it took me wounding, like a lifetime of wounding. And it was like a struggle of being in the 3D, but knowing about the 5D and beyond, and really truly understanding that coming in as that soul.
And thinking also that society or that the government is going to give you your sovereignty. Mm-hmm. It can't be given to you. It is already innately yours. And you said something that I think was so beautiful. You said, you know, coming in with your divinity is really, really hard because you're like, I feel so constricted knowing that I am an emanation of the all, and yet I'm here in this very small bubble being restricted and constricted. And I think it's important too for people to realize that there are these certain levels, because we come in with an emanation of ourselves that is what's needed for that moment. And as we traverse and heal and revisit woundings that need to come up at that time to teach us a lesson, we bring in a broader sense of our soul, and we bring in another piece of a fragment of ourselves that we've left behind, maybe in another life or in another realm, or even in last week, a piece of ourselves that we lost last week, you know? And as we keep doing this, as we keep learning about ourselves, learning about our divinity, really stepping into our power, our gnosis and our magic, we start pulling on all of these threads that weave this huge tapestry that is the soul of our existence. And the more we do that, the more whole, the more embodied, the more complete that we start to feel and really just emanate. As you were speaking, I was literally seeing you like pulling all these threads of your soul, like back into your divinity and being like, oh, okay, as I do that, this limiting container that has been imposed on me no longer really resonates. It can't resonate in my field because I'm already larger than that. And it's the sum of my parts will not fit in this small container. And so therefore I have to bust out. I have to shatter this glass ceiling. And I have to become the complete rounded wholeness that I really encompass. And so at that point, we start to challenge others. We start to become almost a dangerous kind of embodiment to other people, because we're not going with the status quo. And we are teaching and remembering our ancient mystery teachings that we've had for so long, but have been dormant. And when you start to embody your dormant DNA, I think that's scary for a lot of people, because it makes it seem like everything that we've known in this life is not what we've known. It's just what has been put in front of us as a smoke screen. And when you remove the smoke screen and you really see that there is this infinite amount of potential that we hold beyond that, and that we have literally been put into the smallest grain of sand when there are infinite amount of beaches of sand that we are a part of, that can be quite challenging and scary and almost too big to fathom. And that's where the work starts. That's really where the work starts. And that's the awakening. And that's the coming alive to the fact that we are everything and nothing at the same time. And these concepts are still revealing themselves to me as well. And so I can only like relate to someone who is maybe just starting to get on their path and being like, my mind is blown. My head's about to explode. How do I start? You know?
Yeah.
And the starting is just what feels good. Stick with that. If it doesn't feel good, if it doesn't resonate, if the job makes you feel like shit in the morning when you're going there, if the partner doesn't make you feel worthy, if where you live is just not conducive for the expansion of your soul, call it in. Reclaim it. Declare that you need something that is more contingent with where you're going, that is more entrained with the frequency that you're on. Call it in. This is how powerful we are. The opportunities will show themselves when you feel you are deserving and worthy of them. And until that moment, they stay dormant because our dormant code does not want to come alive until it knows you are ready to experience and utilize it and empower it outwards.
Mm. Yes. I mean, these mindset shifts are huge. This is why I tell people, like, literally, if you don't feel like you can access it within yourself, write it on a post-it note, read it every day. That's dehypnotizing because we are taking in messages all day long from every single one of our senses. And we've been doing it our whole lives and past lives. And it's an accumulation of us, of our energy, of our soul, of our divinity, of our humanity. It's all of it. With the awakening, what I'm seeing is people are kind of breaking through the fear of not starting. Because in a competition culture, I think we would get boxed into not even starting for fear of failure. And when we can see failure as essential, as a stepping stone to a greater awakening and being, it completely shifts the wordage, it shifts the meaning, it like welcome it because it's going to take you to a much higher level within yourself.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. And that's why I think the levels are so important and that we can't compare our journey to anyone else's because the levels at which we're traversing our awakening and the reclaiming and the opening of the pathways inside us that lead us back home to ourselves is going to be so individual, so unique, just like the gifts that we're here to embody and bring out to the collective. They're so different, so unique, and just so rare to who we specifically are and the energies that we are meant to emanate out into the world. And I try to tell people that these are all lessons and all plans and architectural blueprints that we created for ourselves through our soul contract before we came into this life. You literally went through and said, I'm going to want to learn that because that stepping stone is going to lead me to this. And that stepping stone is going to lead me to this. And then I'm going to be here. And this is going to be a platform that's really going to allow me to disseminate this message to other people. And then once I've done that, there's going to be another stepping stone here. And that's going to come with a lesson that's going to bring me here. And it's just all of these really beautiful oscillations. And I always see it as music. I see it as musical notes and this orchestra that is really so beautifully laid out that leads us to these low guttural noises where we really realize what it is that we're healing and the traumas that have really come into our lives to allow us to see our worth and our innate divinity so that we can climb higher. And then we get into these high, beautiful, happy, almost tear bringing notes that are just like life is so beautiful. And then we kind of sometimes play in the middle and it's this playlist of our existence that is playing for us. And we literally get to choose the songs and we really have already chosen the songs. And with that, yeah. Can we choose to skip or shuffle? Sure. You know, but there's a reason why we've put them in the order that we have. And it kind of just comes back to we are exactly where we're meant to be in this exact moment with these people doing these things and learning these things. And if you want something new, that just means that the next song is coming up on the playlist and it's on its way.
Yeah. And really shifting that mindset of time. I think that's so important because we've been in such an immediate gratification timeline.
The physicality of worth, like that's where we have been putting our, basically all of our eggs in a basket is like, oh, when we have money, we'll be happy. Oh, when we have the home, we will be more complete. And what it is that our body, our vessel, is our home. And when that is completely tuned, when that is completely fully embodied, that's when we feel worthy. That's when we feel like we have really reached an echelon in our lives. And great, yeah, the car, the home, the career, the partner, our connections, they're so important, but they're reflections of the micro and the macrocosm. And the micro, down at its smallest particle, is really within our bodies. And what is it that we are vibrating alive within us that emanates out into the world? Because I guarantee you, when you feel fully complete and whole within your body, everything in your world is coming into play as well. And even the things that are perceived as something negative, or interactions, or, you know, an argument with someone, if you sit there and you say, okay, first, you know, taking responsibility for maybe anything that may have been a learning lesson for you, and a way to look at the situation differently, and how you can look to that moment for growth and evolution. And then also saying, well, what is this whole thing trying to teach me, and how on a micro level is this applied to my life as a whole and really as a collective? And you will see all of these subtle and not so subtle synchronicities and similarities that are playing out in your life on a collective level as well. And once we realize the connection between the two, everything really seems to flow, and we can make small tweaks within our vessel, our own homely body, our soul, that will emanate out into our world, our immediate world, and then out into the collective as well.
Yes, you said that so beautifully. When we vibrate at that frequency, we literally magnetize abundance to us. We magnetize the soul connection, right? We magnetize the wealth. We magnetize the job that raises our vibration. And so then it becomes cyclical, and all the possibilities open up. We live in a circular motion instead of a linear pattern.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And everything is going to be circular. The linear is, in my opinion, something that has kind of been ingrained into our learning to think that there's a past, present, and a future. And it's an easy concept. It's a much easier concept to think of than everything is happening in this present moment. And someone once told me, they were like, this is a present moment. 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 And every time you're in a present moment. So really, the act of being present is the act of being in that circular energy forest of everything is happening in this moment. And so when we talk about past lives or future lives or ancient civilizations or all of it, all of these energy fields are still ongoing. So when we do something in this realm, in this dimension, in this life that is positive and an evolution and a growth pattern for our soul, it literally elevates and inundates outwards into this cyclical nature, into all lives, into all emanations of who we are, and into all facets of our soul evolution. And so literally, when we heal here, we heal everywhere. Healing you now heals your lineage backwards, heals your lineage forwards, heals your lineage sideways, diagonally, all around. And this is such an important concept, and albeit a very large concept that even sometimes kind of muddles my head. But in every moment, I'm like, okay, I know that this emotion, this situation, this moment is only for my highest and greatest good. How can I learn from it? And what can I take away from this that in the next experience of this, I'm going to be the highest elevation of this learning? And I think that's the beauty of it. We can make this so fun too. We can make this to literally be the conundrum of our lives that is an everlasting and playful asset to how we learn and to how we evolve.
Yes. I love how you're talking about when we, with whatever vibration we're emanating out. So whatever work that we're doing in our ascension, in our practicing higher consciousness, you know, attuning to our higher selves, when that emanates out into the collective, what I think we're really truly starting to understand here is that we can literally dismantle these systems that have been put in place by our own work. When we do this work, other people that we may have placed in power could make different decisions. They could shift their mindset. They could shift the way that they pattern. They could shift the way that they feel by us emanating our frequency together.
Absolutely. And remembering that we are the power. Why have we relinquished our power over to the smallest, tiniest percentage of people? Why do we elect others to be the leaders of our own individual lives? It just doesn't make very much sense to me. And the fact of the matter is that if we were to band together as a collective and say, this is what as a collective, and nothing's going to be across the board great for everyone, but there are going to be emanations that are in tune with where we are going together. And if we were to say, overall, this is what we feel would be better. Meditation. I feel like there's probably not a, and whatever you want to call it, meditation, prayer, devotion, supplication, anything like that. If this is something that we were teaching our youth from a small age so that everyone can embody what it is that they feel is their soul purpose, there would be so much less of negative perceptions in the world. That's war. That's greed. That's jealousy. That's envy. That's all of these perceptions that are of a lower vibration. We can have these large topics, these large kind of folds in time that we know are going to be just collectively greater for all of us that we can embody.
I love what you're saying. I mean, the thing is, we're moving from the age of Pisces to the age of Aquarius. Before the age of Pisces was the age of Aries, which was war and domination and, you know, acquiring land. We move into the age of Pisces where it's like looking to other for power, looking to other to lead us. But with the age of Aquarius, we're like, wait a second, we have sovereignty. I feel it inside of me. Literally, you can feel these energies shift from giving your power away to finding and feeling your power within. And it's about knowledge. It's about information. It's about freedom. It's about how we affect the greater collective together, instead of just giving a small percentage of people all of the power to make decisions for us.
Yes. And I feel like even in that, when we do not stand in our sovereignty, it allows for openings and gaping holes for our sovereignty to be taken, for it to be stripped and ripped from us. And so it's like, no, hold it. It's yours. It's always been yours. And there is no way in this life that we are going to let it go. This is our birthright. It is our power. It is our magic. And it is our sorcery. Embody that shit. Like, that is how we get through this right now. And, you know, it's really interesting because moving from the age of Aries into the age of Pisces, we really were living in the shadow emanations of these two signs. You know, Pisces, yes, is the god of war and the god of anger, but it's also the protector. It's also the warrior of light. You know, Pisces is also the mystic, and it's very intuitive and it's very flowy like the waters. And it's like, instead of embodying these light emanations of it, we've really been sinking into the shadows. And the age of Aquarius is the humanitarian, it's the revolutionary, it is the bringing together of technology and intuition together so that we can marry the both in these polarities of balance. But it also has a shadow side as well. It's erratic sometimes. It Aquarius sometimes just goes for it and doesn't think. I can totally embody that. And you know, a lot of times too, it is irrational. And so we have a choice. Are we going to embody the shadow elements of this new age? Or are we going to embody the light of it? And when I say the shadow and the light, because I think we put a lot of negative attributes on shadow. I love the shadow. I love the dark places and spaces. There is so much strength and power to be found there. But there are also these elements where it's when we don't give true credence and we don't give true inner lookings at what it is that we're doing. It's kind of when we decide that we're not ready, or we decide that that's uncomfortable, or we decide that we are not powerful enough to deal with these, is when we sink down into those shadow aspects and give our power away. And that's what gives over to the shadow elements of these ages. And right now, I think the awakening is occurring at this so beautifully cued moment in time, because it is bringing about the light and it is saying, deal with this uncomfortability so that we can emerge stronger and in the light embodiments of what this age is really supposed to bring us. Age of Aquarius, 2020, it started 2020 vision. It's like, look at it, dig deep, really see what's going on in front of you. Because when there's a distraction over here, what's really going on behind that, around that, in front of that, that something, someone is not wanting us to see? What is really being presented to us that is hidden off to the right or to the left behind the curtains? And so this moment in time is really a release and an envisioning of what it is that we truly feel we are deserving of. And all of it really comes back to self-worth and empowerment for me, and the courage to realize both. The courage to realize that we are so powerful, and what does our power really entail for us individually? Not what someone has told us that it is, not what someone has tried to put a lid on, not what someone has tried to bury. We are uncovering, unburying, releasing, revealing, and exposing who our true selves are without any notion of how that's going to be perceived. The perceptions and the judgments are part of the burying. They are part of the suppression of who we truly are. Release that. That's what last year was about. It literally gave us the time to dig deep and expose our truth, expose ourselves. And this year is all about the courage to say, okay, it's been exposed. I've seen it. I've introduced myself to it. Now let me tell the world. Now let me show you who I am. Let me speak it out into the world so that if there is a little seed or a little thread of resonance that you can kind of hold on to, then that will give you the courage and the power and the strength to expose and reveal yourself. And the more of us that become exposed and revealed in our power, we stand united and strong in this collective of saying, what is it that we really can accomplish when we are all standing tall in sovereignty and in power? There is nothing that we can't accomplish. Limitless is really what becomes our creed and our mantra.
Absolutely. What we're also moving into is the exploration of shadow. I think that for a long time, we accepted shadow. It's, you know, I've been a trauma-informed body worker for 20 years, and I saw people, including myself, who accepted their pain. Like, it became normal. We normalized it, right? So we kind of like normalized shadow without exploring it and truly understanding it. And it's in the exploration that we grow and ascend and actually open up a ray of light that is bigger than we could have ever imagined.
Absolutely. The exploration is not just there to be like, oh, there's my wounding, there's my trauma, hi, I'm just going to leave you in the corner and not heal you. The exploration is the precursor to the healing. These traumatic experiences, moments, revelations are coming up for healing and for the lesson that is wrapped up in that gift. They really are a gift. Mm-hmm. And the gift is healing, and the gift is a reclamation of power, because the healing or the trauma and the confusion that's surrounding it is really just an invitation to find our power. Mm. That's through the healing.
And I want to point out one other invitation that we've been talking about. If you're feeling triggered by someone else's growth or path or experience, it's a mirror. It's a reflection. Every one of us is a teacher for each other. And that's something that I think can support your experience in going so deeply, so quickly when you realize that. And I think that that also comes hand in hand as we start to detach from ego. I'm feeling that with the balancing of the divine feminine and the sacred masculine.
Absolutely. And so often we compare our sacred masculine to our ego. And we're like, oh, that's, you know, that's just my masculine part that's doing that. And that's also the masculine in its shadow aspects. Our divine feminine is our gnosis. It's our intuitive waters. It is the primordial womb space where things are really created and manifested. And our sacred masculine is what comes to the goddess and says, how can I create this into form? How can I make this physical? How can I bring this into the world so that we can show our balancing and our unison of both our goddess and our God sense in form, in this dimension? And so for the two of them to work in this harmonious and simultaneous way, we have to be balanced. And we have to know that there are going to be shadow aspects of that, and there's going to be light aspects of that. And we need both for the balancing of it. And our goddess says, this is my dream. This is my manifestation. This is my intuition. And the God, our masculine, our sacred masculine says, I've got it. I will build this for you. Because you have created it out of the primordial waters, I will make it into physicality. And for that to happen, we really need to come into full embodiment that we have these polarities within us, that we have both, and we don't have to, you know, embody one more than the other. We often do because that's just societal conditioning. And I know for a long time, I was completely in my masculine, and coming home to the goddess and coming home to this restful space where she says, just be in the womb, just be here and dream into the capacities of where your power really lies. And the masculine comes when you're ready and says, okay, transference of power, let me create this world for you. That is the world of your dreams. When we are in balance between both of our, I don't even like to call them polarities. They're really just both of our emanations of ourself, of our soul. This is when we have the power to create anything. The manifestation comes about and the physicality comes about almost in the same moment when we are in unison, in divine union, in the Eros Gamos marriage of the twin flames within, the soulmates within. So often we put this emphasis on finding our partner, and really our partnership lies within. And when we come into partnership within is when we can come to partnership without. It's the micro and the macro always playing out, always in the cyclical nature of coming back around and around.
That was so beautifully said. I loved every feeling of what you just said. That was, I'm always trying to talk about the feminine and the masculine because I literally feel them both coming into such beautiful power. And I think especially, probably even more so, us as women, we tried to embody kind of a wounded masculinity for so long in order to level up, in order to just, you know, survive in this culture that we had created here.
Yes, absolutely. And I think there's something to be said there for women coming into their masculinity, coming in hard and fast. And it's because as women of all the lives and the energetic dimensions and realms and just other emanations and fragments of our soul, we have been suppressed. But once we've gone through so many of these lives where this has just become the prevalent storyline and the prevalent theme in our lives, it does come into this existence like, oh, I can't speak up. I can't show my divine feminine. No, I can't use my intuition. No, I can't know what herbs and the stars and the sea and the land is trying to tell me because I've been killed for that before. I've been suppressed for that before. I've been exiled for that before. No longer. That's why I reclaim the priestess. I reclaim the path of the goddess. I reclaim the witch. I reclaim the druidess. I reclaim the shamana. I reclaim the shapeshifter. I reclaim all the memories of the feminine that are coming up right now to say, I am powerful and I stand next to the masculine. I stand next to the god as the divine goddess. And we are emanations of the same whole. And when we are balanced, we are one full embodiment of fucking power that no one can mess with. This is our sovereignty. This is who we are. This is our birthright. And this is what we're remembering. And when you remember this, there is nothing that will stand in your way. And as a collective, if we can come into this full embodiment of ourselves, watch out. This planet is ready to fly and ready to go into the infinite, infinite heights of what our potential is. And our potential has no limits and no obscurations.
Ooh, yes, that absolutely, absolutely. Thank you. Oh my gosh. I cannot believe how long we've been talking. And I haven't even gotten to a big piece of what I wanted to talk to you about. So let's see what we can do with this because it is very important. And I really want to share this with people because it touches my heart in such a profoundly deep way, just through the experience that I've had and listening to you talk about this, what I heard you say earlier, course correction in your life, this major transformation that happened for you, I think around 2.5 years ago. You are very much a weaver of words and a creator of magic. Like that's what came to me as I was reading your words. So before you get into it, I do want to read something that you wrote on the Instagram, okay? Under a Beautiful picture, absolutely gorgeous. And it said, "And so it is here that I will live in the passionate consumption of life, being held by your strength, your devotion, and our eternal bond, and I will continue our legacy. Death and rebirth has become my inextricable love language, and not because of this great loss, but because this revelatory experience has alchemized my essence and ultimately removed the blindfold that had made me blind to my path. I have regained my vision, my power, my purpose, my magic, and am dancing to the beat of the lyrical soundtrack you've created that plays exclusively for my soul. I am the legacy, and I love you."
That, I think it's actually quite serendipitous that we are doing our interview today. Yesterday was my late husband's birthday. And this is the third birthday that I am celebrating in his honor without him. And my husband passed away quite suddenly, a little over 2.5 years ago in his sleep. And anybody that knows Matt, and I say knows because literally his energy is always still around with myself and with so many of our acquaintances, our family, and our community, was probably the fittest man you'll ever meet. Krav Maga, jiu-jitsu, boxing, running, everything, you know, was just always on what's healthy and what is going to sustain his avatar to be of the highest power and the highest creativeness while still drinking some whiskey, having a Heineken, of course, his vices. But yeah, he passed away. And, you know, at the moment, I thought that all of me had died as well. And I remember having this out-of-body experience while I witnessed myself in this chaotic, but also quite beautiful tornado of grief and anguish and wailing that I didn't know that those kind of sounds were possible to be able to come out of a human body. And I remember having this very separate witnessing consciousness that was looking at myself from above. And in the same moment, still feeling everything that could go on in a moment that stood in time. And so I'm quite affiliated and acclimated to the shadow, to grief, to the darkness, to the underworld, to the other worlds, and living there for quite some time, not sure if I would ever leave, and understanding that by not giving myself a time frame for when I needed to come out of that or when it would be socially acceptable for me to come back into the world. And I became really comfortable in that space and really comfortable in traversing why this had to happen. What was the purpose? Because even before I believe I went full force into this empowerment of service and this journey and this path that I'm on now, my entire life has been, what's the purpose? What is my existence based on? How can I do more? I've always been this person of climb the mountain, climb the mountain, climb the mountain. What can I do? How can I get there? And the plateau has very much scared me. It has been probably one of my biggest fears, is the slowdown and the plateau and the non-movement. The non-movement felt like death to me. And in this moment of my life of death, I lived in the plateau. And I realized that the plateau was the integration. And it was the integration of everything that I had learned up until that moment and everything that was coming. It was literally like a blueprint and an architecture of what had been laid out for the course correction of my path. And that everything before that had led me to this moment so that I could either take a hard left, hard right, diagonal, however you'd like to look at it, but so that I could realize that this was the soul contract. And I'm an avid partaker in plant medicine and in breath work. And every time I partake in ceremony, whether it be ayahuasca, breath work, San Pedro, anything that is an emanation of the goddess, my husband comes to me and he shows me, literally, it's like a golden scroll. And it says, this is our soul contract. And the scroll is so long, it's like infinitely long, of all the things that we have called into this life to be the embodiment of our full purpose. And that this was not his final act, but one of his acts of pure and unconditional love for me to align and self-realize and self-actualize what my path was. And I'm sure I will have several other initiations that will lead me to the next phase of my path. But I do look at this experience as a full-fledged initiation into my sacred sovereignty and into my destiny and into what really is my existential purpose. And no, that realization did not come very soon after that grief. It took me quite some time to realize that, but that was found in the darkness. That was found in the shadow, and the strength to keep going was found in the shadow and in that dark place and space. And suicidal tendencies and thoughts and depression, absolutely a part of it. I don't want to give this flowery version of my awakening that was not accompanied by depth and grief and hardship and aching to my core. And there's power there and there's love there. And I'm grateful for it. I know that there really was no other way that would have blasted me into my service than that. There probably would have been little path adjustments, or, you know, I'm thinking about it as like a labyrinth, you know, and it's like, yeah, I could have taken a left, I could have taken a right. But this literally, this moment in my life blasted me to the middle of the labyrinth where I knew all paths to get out of the matrix, to get out of the conditioned idea of this world that was so limited. And so every other path that was not this was still limiting. It was still a very small portion of what I knew my innate divinity to be. And so when this happened, it literally was like a nuclear blast against my soul that blew every egoic thought, every unworthiness, every holographic thought form that was not resonant with my journey, with my mission. It blew it away and it left me standing there naked and shivering in what I knew was supposed to be my blueprint, my divine architecture, what was going to be my mission. And so I had no other choice but to walk that path, because every other path had been blown away and this was what was left. This golden brick road home to the origination of myself, to the origination of my soul, to the origination of my God self. And there's a lot that's in there and in between and weaved into the tapestry of that, but that's basically the whole picture. And it's, you know, these moments happen to us for an absolute reason, and I don't take them lightly, but I do take them to be complete keys, codes, and direct messages from our consciousness, from our higher self, that are in unconditional love, but are literally like, I've got you, and this is where we're going. Do you trust me? Mm. And when you do, everything falls into place. And that doesn't mean that I don't have moments of, you know, racking sobs for the loss of my husband. Absolutely. Yesterday, in case in point, you know, it was his birthday, and was celebrating it and also realizing that he's not here in physical form. And I feel him energetically all the time, but missing that embrace, missing his kisses, missing the intimacy and the fervent passion that just comes with someone knowing all of you. And not having to hide who you truly are, and knowing that even though he's not in this physical plane, in his transcendence, he knows so much more of me than he ever could in this physical life. He knows every single atom and particle of my essence, and he knows some of the parts of me that I haven't known yet. And so he literally brings them to me and says, let me introduce you to another fragment of your soul. Let me let me help you to remember even more of your existential self, of your cosmic self, the origination of your goddess self. And I really welcome that. I welcome all of that. I welcome that knowledge, and I welcome this new connection that we have, this new energetic frequency that we're on. And I have to know that it's absolutely for a reason, that this is the new relationship that we have, and this is the new path, and know that he's guiding me and opening doors and windows and sometimes cat doors for me to crawl through that are going to be the next step on this journey, the next step on the path, and that my footsteps are always guided in the right direction if it feels aligned.
Mm. Thank you so much for sharing everything about that and about your experience with him. And yeah, I think that through loss of another human form in our lives, we are so deeply imprinted. I actually feel like that is when we are most close to source. We feel so deeply, like we touch areas in our heart, in our essence, that we normally don't ever allow ourselves to in our human experience because it's too scary.
Yes.
Right. And so we get blasted. I like that you said that we get blasted into that space. And as you were talking, I was feeling into it, and it came to me like, oh, wow. I was in my grief base or in my sadness, deep, deep sadness for the loss of my daughter for so long. And I actually believe that I stayed there willingly because it's when I was closest to her. I could, you know, we communicated, she came to me and she talked to me. And I think I was so scared if I left that deep place of like feeling and sadness that maybe she wouldn't come anymore. Yeah. Now she comes in a whole different way. Like we have a whole new experience. We know all, like you said, I wish that we had more time to get into it because we both have experienced something so big, an all-knowing moment of spiritual awakening. I like to think of it as like this. When I was young, I had this evolutionary dream, like the tadpole going up. I actually had that dream and it changed my life.
Yeah.
And I feel like right now, those experiences are coming so much more quickly, deeply, freely to us. And if you open the door within yourself to it, it's there for you. Right.
Absolutely.
And those of us who have such a beautiful loved one in the other realm are there to help us. They're waiting. They have the support for us. So your share and story that you just gave us is just, I feel like there's not even words for it. Sometimes I just feel like we rely too much on language and words. And I'm touching my heart. That's what I want to say, I guess, in that space.
I just told a friend of mine, I was like, I can't wait until we all like regain our telepathy so that I don't have to like try and find words for all of this anymore. Like you'll just know my heart's like response and the frequency of my soul, because that's just so much more clear than any words that I could ever put into this.
Exactly. That's how we were meant to communicate.
Exactly. And this is just one of those things. I was just talking with a friend of mine, and we were saying that, you know, as children, when you have imaginary friends, or when, you know, you can see things that other people can't see or hear things or taste or anything like that. And it's shut down. It's like, you're too old for that now, or that's not real. Like we're going to get you on medication. We're going to go and let you see a therapist, you know? And it's like, this is the divinity that we are born with. It is our birthright. And it's literally being stripped from us, drugged out of us, confused out of us, or we are being hospitalized for it. And this is just another way to corral our power. And it is just another way to suppress it. Just like our divine feminine has been suppressed throughout the years, this is the part of our magic that was so apparent and so outwardly used and utilized before that is being conditioned out of us, is being said that it's not real. We are being brainwashed to feel like we are just bots walking around doing these daily mundane tasks that are so 3D, and thinking in this very mundane thought forms. And literally we are de-evolving that way. We are going backwards. We are regressing. We are reversing. And the awakening is It's part of our soul literally saying, oh, no. We are not doing this again. We have done this for lifetimes. We have done this for civilizations. We have done this for ages and epochs. Absolutely not. You need to only be able to move forward. You can traverse the realms of what seems like the past to learn lessons, to remember what it is that you've forgotten. And we are going to take all of these elements and these keys, and we are going to use them for our forward motion, for our evolution, and for our growth. We are not doing this again. And I feel like this time is really different in the sense that we're all feeling it. And we all have the means, I think, in this age to be able to seek the mentors when the student is ready. And right now we're all students and all the teachers are showing up. I feel like every time I ask for something, like I really want to lean into this more. I really want to learn more about this, or I'm confused about this. And I declare it and I claim I'm calling in a teacher, a mentor, a thought form that'll help me to access this, it comes. And it all comes back to empowerment and empowerment of ourselves and empowerment of the fact that we are worthy to call in whatever it is that we need in this moment. And it's not reversals. It's not backwards movement. It is all about going forward. This is the golden age. And like everything that we're doing is golden right now. Everything is for our light, and it's for our light being. It's for the warriors of light. It's for the collective to stand in the power of our light and our shadow in a balanced emanation of ourselves. And it's just so important to keep coming back to that, to purpose and passion and the path.
Mm-hmm.
Peace, you know, like whatever your path is, it will be passionate. Whatever your purpose is, it will be the path. So find what makes you blissful and happy and passionate and follow that path, because it will lead you to your purpose.
Oh, that's fantastic. I love that.
I really feel like teaching not just children, but teaching adults the importance of imagination, because imagination is our God self, bringing our desires and our dreams to the forefront of our physical cortex. And it's saying, this is possible. All of this is possible. And I really have studied a lot of Neville Goddard's teachings. If you're familiar with him, he was a Barbadian mystic from the early 1900s. And I found it kind of hard to get into his teachings at first, because it deals in a lot of the Bible. And I was raised Catholic, and I'm like, I'm such an anti, and I wouldn't say anti-religion, but I'm pro-spirituality and not pro anything that is regulated and very staunch. Like, I feel like it has to be very innate to each person. And I say that to say is that Neville Goddard would go into the Bible and he would showcase how each story was really a story about our imagination and our ego, and how each character in the story was a part of ourselves. It was an archetype of ourselves, and how we can literally bring about our desires and our imagination and our goals and our dreams by enlivening and giving power to the fact that our imagination is our God self, that is the spark of our God self. And that is how we bring about the gnosis. It's how we bring about the goddess. It's how we bring about the intuitive waters from ourself into physicality by the divine masculine. It's by giving power to our imagination. It's by giving power to our dreams and the gnosis. And so I really like fell in love with these teachings where everything is within us, everything. And if you literally dream it, think it, know it, realize it, speak it, declare it, reclaim it, it's all possible. And we have this notion of time, and people have been asking me, well, how did we go from 3D to 5D? Like, what happened to 4D? And in my personal visions and revelations, 4D is time. And we have quantum leapt from 3D to 5D because time is becoming less and less relevant in the landscape of our dreams and our manifestations and our thought forms. And since 2021 has really started, and I would even really say from 2020, but I've noticed it most notably in this year, is that when I really declare and reclaim something, there's like no time in between of when it is manifested in my reality. And that's because time is slowly slipping out of our reverie right now. We have quantum leapt over it into an age and a dimension where our imagination rules, our power and our magic rules, our sovereign sorcery rules. Give power to that. Give all of yourself over to the innate divinity that lies within that power, and 5D works for you, not against you.
Absolutely. It's actually only through our imagination that we can manifest. Absolutely. So in the past, with the whole law of attraction, people were getting so turned off because they weren't processing their manifestation through their imagination. They were processing it through their past experience and what they don't want.
Right.
When I truly felt that shift and that change, I was like, oh, okay. And I think it was Dr. Joe Dispenza that really helped guide me through that.
Yes. Yes. He's such a powerful light worker and agent of change. I really feel that brings together the logic of the science-based technologies behind manifestation, and then the magic of the imagination. And that's just our divine masculine and our divine feminine coming into balance within each other. And I love him. I own a metaphysical store, and we have a lot of his books, and they sell out like every week, because I really love that he can bring together the polarities into a beautiful union of balance, and really, especially for me, like kind of brings it right center, and I can bring both of those teachings in and be like, I know exactly how to marry these two worlds together to create this new realm of possibility.
Perfect. Let's get to our last question.
Yes.
So if you had a podcast, who would your dream guest be and why?
Okay. Well, I actually do have a podcast. It's called...
Oh, you do? I didn't know.
Okay. Yeah. It's Chronicles of the Golden Age. And I literally have recorded like 10 interviews and I have not put it out yet. And this is part of me, like my coming out party.
All right. Oh my gosh. I'm so excited. Yeah. Of course. It's like we're doing a little debut here.
We are. So
all right.
Coming out next month. And so thank you for that beautiful introduction that was not known. But if on my podcast, if I were to interview anyone past, present, future, it would be the great mother Isis, the great goddess. And Isis was an Egyptian emanation of the primordial first divine feminine. She was known as Aphrodite in Greek culture, and as Venus in Roman culture, as Inanna, as Ishtar in Sumerian and Babylonian culture, as Brigid in Celtic culture. Literally, this divine feminine emanation has been known in every civilization that has ever been. And it's this primordial holding within the womb of knowing that we are safe in everything that we do. That's not the same as being protected, but knowing that we are safe because we are a beautiful truth, because we are here, because we have incarnated, because we are a soul, we are a beautiful truth, and we are safe within that. I would interview her to understand what is the deepest and most profound origination of the divine feminine. I am on the path of the priestess and a conduit of the goddess. And that doesn't mean that I don't fall into a beautiful dance with my divine masculine, but I do feel that the age that we're in right now is the bringing about of the goddess. It's the bringing about of the gnosis and the intuition and the dream first. It's like the chicken or the egg, and it's both, because they're both encompassed in the goddess energy. And so it's bringing about this first step, this first level, this first innate energy that then can be physicalized into the dimension that we're in. And so my questions basically would be, what is the most direct and pure and wholesome and complete route to embodying our divine feminine, and sharing that with everyone that we meet, and coming into the Eros Gamos marriage between our divine feminine and our sacred masculine, and embodying the essence and the golden unification of what that means within our souls, to be fully whole, fully complete, and fully embodied within the womb of self.
I love that. Thank you. Mm. I would say my dream guest today would be my daughter, Dunia. My human self still wants to experience her human self, even though we're so good. You know, I fully embody and understand our soul contract. I know exactly why I'm here and she decided to stay where she is. I don't know how we could be human and not want that, you know, not still want to see her human self like fully expressed. So that would be my dream guest today.
Absolutely. And if I may make a suggestion, why not interview her? Why not have her essence come in meditation and literally record it? And as I'm sensing, you probably do get clairaudient messages all the time. And why not speak those emanations into physicality and hear what she has to say? And that may be such an important message that needs to be revealed to the masses of what your daughter, who is traversing all the realms right now, has to say to you and maybe other mothers and other divine feminine and those that identify with divine feminine will gain from that message and those keys and codes that she stores within her and within her through you.
Yes, she has so much to share. And we've been working on my matriarchal lineage and healing the entire lineage in our wombs. And I think once we're finished with that job, I think maybe we'll move on to the bigger collective.
Yeah, there's always so much to be thankful for and appreciative of. And the relationship that you have right now is exactly where it's supposed to be.
Where can people get a hold of you? I know that you offer some beautiful sessions. You have a metaphysical store and your home island. There's so much for you to share with the world. So please let us know.
Well, thank you so much. I am currently located, I'm from the Virgin Islands, from the Caribbean, the Virgin Islands on the island of St. Thomas. And this is where my family goes back 6 generations here. And I have a metaphysical store called Sage Sanctuary. It's S-A-J-E Sanctuary. And so you can visit our website, sagesanctuary.com. Also, we are Sage Sanctuary on Instagram and on Facebook. And my personal Instagram is Je T'aime Cherie. It's J-E-T-A-I-M-E-C-H-E-R-E-E. And that's French. Je T'aime means I love you. My family is of French origin here. And my middle name is Cherie, which means dear. So it's I love you, my dear, which I feel really speaks into what I'm putting out in the world. I think words and the etymology of words, it really plays such a big part in our soul language. And I do Akashic record readings, tarot readings, I provide sound baths. I facilitate with my dear sister, Katie, breath work, private sessions. And I'm on the priestess path. I consider myself a green witch. I'm an initiate of herbalism, and I'm just studying and opening the channels to all the things. I love connecting with other healers. Quite often we bring down people from different places, other countries, from the United States, from Europe, from anywhere to facilitate workshops and events here at our metaphysical store. The downstairs is like a retail area with crystals and books and divinatory tools. And then upstairs is our sanctuary where we offer astrology readings and channeled and mediumship readings from all these healers in this wonderful community that I'm in. So I'm always open to meeting other people who feel resonant with service in general, and whatever that service may be, I find that it has a beautiful resonance with the collective. And I'd love to meet you, speak with you, and just have divine dialogue like we are here. And I'm just so grateful. I'm so grateful for the opportunity and for the opening.
Thank you so much for offering your time, wisdom, your soul, your presence. We are in complete gratitude that we got to spend it with you.
Thank you so much, Lori. This has been really such a heart-opening exchange, and I'm just so grateful for you and your energy and your presence and your service. And I just couldn't be more excited to be in connection with you and to continue that.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you. All right, y'all. Cheers. And with that, let's normalize the struggles, celebrate the quirks, and lean into the light. From myself and Beezus the Brave, happy Wild Heart Revolution, friends.
Yeah, that's kind of why I was late too. I was like, I can't start without my cacao.
Absolutely.
So just some intentions that, you know, we find our voice and our truth and are able to clearly communicate that and be in this beautiful exchange together in the most highest light and our highest good for the highest collective.
Absolutely. Aho. Yes, it be, and so it is, or something even better.